Picture a world where costs are down, profits are up, and customers are clamoring at your door. You're listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. Our interviews with business owners, service providers, and area experts can teach you how to create a world of success and profitability. If you're looking for an attorney to assist in your business formation, employment agreements, or other legal business needs, contact Jordan Law at 407-906-5529. You can also reach us on the web at jordanlawfl.com. Jordan Law, we protect you and your business.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Hope everyone's having a wonderful day today, and welcome to another edition of these podcasts presented by Jordan Law. I'm Edward De Aguilera, and I am so honored to be a member of the Jordan Law family. These podcasts are really meant to offer information to our community, especially with the current environment. We are trying to find innovative ways to make sure that we give as much information to our community as possible. Make sure, super important, if you like this, please subscribe to us on YouTube. This enables us to keep on going with these podcasts to make sure that we keep on the avenues of giving out this important information to the to our community. Today we have a great guest. I'm really excited. This is a gentleman who has over 25 years of experience in the IT sector, sales director at Natterbox. He is one of the top 100 cloud influence lists in 2017 through 2015. I mean, this guy is someone who knows his materials here. We're excited. He's going to be talking about the actual title of the podcast today is Marketing Begins With You. Exploring the core elements of personal branding. And as we know, personal branding is key to everything. So it is my pleasure, it is my honor to please welcome Ian Moyse.
Ed, thank you for the kind introduction. I wonder which person you're introducing then. So they sound good.
Oh, please. You've earned it. That's why we're so excited to have you on here today.
So yeah, good to talk. And hopefully I can give some insight and value to your listeners, right, which is what it's all about.
Absolutely. So tell us about the importance of branding. Why don't we start there?
Yeah, sure. So I'll step back a little bit. And how did I fall into knowing about this? And simple terms, I've been a sales leader for many, many years. And I have watched pre-COVID, which I'm sure we'll touch on the impact that's had, but how the biodynamic has changed. We have all, as human beings, changed our behavior in buying decisions over recent years. And that has been led by the environment we all inhabit. So if you think smartphones, Web 2, social media, we all behave differently, right? Because of what goes on around us. So if I give examples that the audience may recognize, if you're going to the movies, it doesn't take much to do a quick search on IMDb to see what other people have said. Oh, this has only got 2 stars out of 12,000 people. You might change your decision to see the movie and see something different, even though you don't know those individuals. You don't know if they've got the same tastes as you. If you're buying an app on your phone, how many of you, sadly like me, even if it's a 59p, 59 cent app, you look at the star rating, And you make it's 59 cents. You buy it, right? But you know, things have become consumable, and we've become information led and rich. We can all get massive insight into anything we choose 24/7 with minimal clicks on any device, anywhere, any time. So we use that information. We make decisions. And coming down into the individuals or selling, where that drove me was as a seller and a leader of sellers, how are we going to interact with people when they're going to be more informed than they've ever been before? I remember the old day where you would be invited to meet someone. They go, Ian, great. Tell me about you and your company. Tell me what you do. I've heard your name, but that's all they know. You then controlled the message and the agenda and the information that individual got as part of their decision. Yes, they could get a little bit of information themselves, but pretty much you were a conduit of information. Now that conduit is open to the customer, wide open. And it is true. So as I moved into that, it got into social selling. How do you interact with people? How do you make sure people get the best impression? What information are they likely to have had? Because they're going to self-serve, right? You go and look up your own information. And that led me into social selling, and that led me into personal branding, realizing that guess what? Before people meet someone, as we do here, Ed, guess what? I could, and you don't know this, whether I'm doing it or not, but I could, my hands could vanish, and I could have your LinkedIn and social profiles open here and know things about you, see what you've been tweeting, see your Facebook, anything that I can access that Google can index, I can view and make a judgment of you on. Right, it isn't just what I'm seeing now and what you say. I have access to all that stuff to make correct or incorrect judgments and assumptions. And that's your personal brand. Anything that anyone can see, research, or get hold of about you is your personal brand. So in the majority today, it's digital, right? But if it's in print, it still affects your personal brand. If I read an interview you've done in a print magazine, and I don't like the tone or the political angle you've taken, or so that inflects how I make a judgment on you. That is your personal brand that I'm making a judgment on, because that's the impression I've got. But for most people listening today, this is digital, and COVID has accelerated this. We're on this now. How many people listening, if I had them on an audience, I'd say put your hands up, have been on a web, a Skype, a Google Hangout, a Zoom, a Microsoft Teams call, through work, through whatever, in the past few weeks, right? We're all doing it all over the place. That means at the time you interact with someone, you're in front of an electronic device which gives you access to look them up and to make micro decisions and judgments about that individual. And you make judgments based on what you see, read, and have access to. Whether or not that is a fair or correct judgment or not, it is the judgment you make, because it's the information you have access to. And that's the way we work, right? We all work that way. We make micro judgments. How many times have people said, oh, I don't like the look of them, right? I remember going to a horror film festival once, and it was all bikers in the leathers. And I was nervous because, you know, little geeks sort of there. Me and my mate were like, oh my gosh, they were the loveliest people, and you know, and it was a great time. But first impressions, unfortunately, as humans, we make them based on our upbringing, our environment, etc. And we do it now electronically as well. Whether people like it or not, whether people disagree with it or not, it is reality.
So from what I'm hearing, you're talking a lot about social media, that is the beginning of your personal brand.
It's the most common place where you are going to find information about someone, right? Let's be honest. How many people set up their own website or their blog? If you've got a website, a blog, a podcast, that is all part of your personal brand as well. Anything that someone else could find out about you, prior to, except for being in front of you and you controlling that message, is part of your personal brand. That is print, digital, photographs, anything. So I always indicate to people of anything they have access to. So if you have a Facebook account where it's really intended for your friends and family, and if you get drunk on a Friday and you post drunk, that's fine. But if you've not limited it to friends and family connected to you, you've left it open to everyone. And you go for a job interview and they've got a negative impression of you beforehand because of what they've seen online. They may not tell you, but that has affected their decision before you've even met them. They may have excluded you from the process, and you don't know why.
So what recommendations would you give? You know, most of our audience are folks that are in the business community. So what recommendations do you give? And obviously each individual represents their organization, their company, their corporate ties. So what recommendations would you give to the individuals?
So absolutely. So the first one is think about the environment that you're your customer, so to speak, the viewer of your profile expects, right? So people always say to me, well, should I always be suited and boot, you know, blue tie, the old IBM look? Should I? No, unless that is relevant to the target audience. So examples I would give, if you're in the legal community, there'll be a certain way and demeanor of how you engage with clients. If you're a kids entertainer, it is totally fine to be on there with a clown picture, right? Because that's what you do, and that's what your audience would expect. If you're in a suit and tie there, it's going to look odd. I'm a children's entertainer, but look, I look like a corporate accountant. So it's be relevant to your audience. Okay, be authentic, but be in a way that they would judge you by. So if you're going to be a children's entertainer, it's fine looking that way. If you're going to be an artist, it's fine having, you know, look appropriate to the audience you're going to get. If you are, so if you look at my profiles, I work in corporate technology, selling B2B, they're professional photos, but they're not overly blue tie. I like to look smart, but relaxed. So it's business casual, right? But smart. You won't find me on there, at a picture down the pub, because it's not appropriate for the audience that will view my profile. What impression does that give? First impressions count. How many, we've all heard that before, right? You don't turn up somewhere dressed inappropriate. You don't turn up at a wedding in ripped jeans, shorts and sandals, unless it's a beach wedding and you've been told to do that. So you dress appropriately. Same thing on social media. First impressions count. Who's your audience? What can they see of you? And a good hint there is go into a search engine on a friend's PC or an incognito browser and search yourself like someone else would. Have a look at what you look at for, what comes up in Google, what can they access? Go to your Facebook profile. Can you get to it? Oh, I didn't realize people could see all of that. Bang, there's an easy fix you can do. See what other people see and find of you. And is it how you'd want to come across to the average person who it might be a business contact?
So would you recommend, because I can already hear some of the comments here going, but gosh, it seems so unfair. I can't put my photos that I want to put up there. I'm now so limited. So what recommendations is it to have private lockdown personal friends and family, and then to have more that's another profile that's open to the public, or is it to limit your social media outlets? I mean, what recommendations would you give individuals?
So first, it is absolutely your prerogative to post whatever you like, where you like it, freedom of speech. But understand, you can no longer control who can access it. So if it's your local sports club or in your house, you put something up on a pinboard or a wall, you know who's able to view it and who's not. If you post things on the internet, whether it's social media or anywhere on the internet, if it's available by anyone, you cannot blame anyone for seeing it, because you've made it freely accessible, and you cannot control who can see it or their impression they take from it. So for an easy example, in COVID, with so many unfortunate stories of job losses and furloughing, if you're going for a job and applying, whenever I look have candidates, I search them on internet, I look on LinkedIn, I check them on profiles. What can I see about them? Because what they're sending me in a CV is their, an email, is their controlled version of them. Well, is it not fair of me to see, firstly, are they smart enough not to let me see stuff that puts them in a bad light? Remembering I don't know them. If I see a friend's pictures drunk, who I've known for years and I know is incredibly good at their job, but I see them drunk, doesn't change my impression because I already have context. If all I see about someone is partying pictures online, and stuff, even inappropriate, right? Sometimes, how many celebrities, how many TV people, how many people in the public eye have posted things incorrectly and lost their jobs or been slammed in the media because they've shared something? And the problem is they've shared it and the world's seen it. That's the thing you've got to think about. Anything you post that goes public on the internet is open to anyone's viewing and anyone's misinterpretation of what you intended as well. So tread carefully. And this thing about being unfair, life's unfair, right? Someone could see me in the street and say, God, he looks scruffy. right? That's their prerogative to do so. I chose to dress this way on that particular day, but it's not going to have an impact on me. It's just impression, right? If you're going on a date and you know, people go on dates, right? You make a decision of what you're wearing. Do you turn up on time? Do you dress smartly? Do you go somewhere nice, right? If you don't, and you act like an idiot and you behave badly and all the rest of it, well, you had ability to control the outcome. You chose to behave in whatever way you want. You can't blame the other person for how they reacted to that. You made a choice. Same with this. You're making a choice of what you let people see of you. That is your personal brand. And if you put stuff out there and just let it go and anyone can see anything and they make a judgment, A, you may never know they made that negative judgment. And B, if they do share it with you, I've shared with people before in private when they've said to me, I saw your podcast or I saw your speaking at this event. Could you have a look at my profile? Do you want honest? Okay, I wouldn't use that picture. Here's why. My first impression is that makes me think this. Yeah, I've just chatted to you and you come across really as a lovely person. That sends a different message. How many people have tested their photo to say, what impression does that photo give? You can test it. Here's a hint. There's a website called photofeeler.com. If you go and vote for other people on there, you get free credit. So it's free. You can test your picture and see what people who don't know you think that does. Does it make you authoritative or does it make you come across as unauthoritative, unrespectful or whatever? You can test your photo. I've tested mine. That's why I use the photo I use. I'm just in the business of retesting some new photos now. Don't go by what you or your friends think. Right. So it's not rocket science, but it's not about whether it's right or wrong or fair. It's reality.
So as we cultivate our personal brand, how do we get it out to your key demographic that you're looking to do it? What avenues would you suggest to kind of make that leap? You've been very diligent on kind of cultivating and creating a narrative, because what it sounds like here is that you're in charge of your own narrative. So as you cultivate this narrative, how do you push it out to get the desired results? How do you market yourself?
Sure. So firstly, make sure you've cultivated that brand, right? It's like an analogy would be, it's like a plant, right? You buy a plant, but you have to water it. So people set up their social profile often and then do nothing with it for years. And they've just, I've set it up, tick, done, and they forget it's even there, right? Is I still continually today look at what other people do. I search for influencers and see what they're doing, because guess what? Influencers care about their brand and want to do every trick in the book because it's their livelihood, for example. Also think about which platform you're on. I get asked this all the time, or even from businesses as well. Well, which platform should I'm on all the platforms.
That was going to be my next question. So I appreciate you talking about that.
Yeah. So be on the platform where your audience is. If you design furniture, right, and do artistic stuff that's visual, Instagram may be a great platform for you. If you sell widgets and bolts, what are you going to post on Instagram that's got any business value to you? You can have your own personal account. Great for your friends, family, and do your family photos. But it's not got any business value, right? So it isn't about being on every platform. The more you go on every platform, the more work you've got to make them look good and consistent. Now, I'm on every platform now because I've got involved in social influencing and talking on this. So I need to know about them and how they work and the nuances. Otherwise, I can only talk generically. But otherwise, for my business purposes, it is LinkedIn number one, and it's Twitter as number two. Because I work in the cloud industry and a lot of the information and a lot of cloud influencers are on Twitter, right? Facebook is more for me for understanding it, but it's more for personal. But I'm careful what I post and I choose carefully. My kids' pictures never have their faces in them, which people often ask me, what's wrong with your kids? Well, it's purely I don't want to make that decision for them to have their faces on there because my profile is open. So that's why. And Instagram I use so I understand the platform. But choose the platform that's relevant to you and do it well. Do not boil the ocean and try to be on four, five, six platforms just for the sake of it. Too many businesses make that mistake, and they have the sanity of all the you know, the vanity, sorry, of all the icons on their website. Look at us, we're on every site. But if you actually go to those sites, they're not using them properly. They're not posting good, valuable content to their audience. They don't have many followers. And if you send them a direct message, you never get a response because they're not monitoring them all. They've just ticked a box, right? You don't have six websites. You have one website for your business and you do it well, right? So choose where your audience is going to be. If you're dealing with consumers, they're probably not on LinkedIn. It's probably Facebook, right? What is your product? What is your service? Where is your audience? If 80% of your audience is going to interact with you on Facebook, and a cheat is often look where your competitors are who are having success, and that will give you a clue. Do the platform, the minimal platforms you can get away with that address the majority of your target audience in the most professional fashion, and do a good job of it. Yeah, master of one, not a jack of all trades. Get it right and be professional. I originally was only on LinkedIn. And then I expanded to Twitter. And as I got into this more and realized people want to, I need to understand it, I'm now on other platforms to varying degrees. So I know what the platform is about. So you don't say to me Snapchat or the German LinkedIn Zing. And I go, I have no idea what you're talking about. I at least have familiarity of it's different because, and I have context to be able to talk about it because of this. But I'm not on it just for the sake of trying to do everything on every platform.
So I know that that time is getting close here, but the one question I do have, and because you are a leader in the industry, you have obviously you have your finger on the pulse of this. Is there any social media platforms or sites that we should be an eye on? Like, what is going to be the next Twitter? What's going to be the next Instagram? What's going to be the next Facebook, so to speak? Are there certain ones that we should be looking at, especially from the corporate side? What do you see in the future?
Yeah, so I think right now my advice would be stick with the mainstream ones that are there, right? But there are fledgling. There are two or three. There's one that's due to be launched shortly. I think COVID delayed them. That is purporting, and I'm trying to think of the name of it as we speak, because I know it's probably, but it's purporting to be the new, we're going to take all the ones that are out there, and we're going to show you how it should be done, and da-da-da-da-da. So the hype is fantastic. But no one's seen what is this going to look like? What have they come up with? Is it really going to change the game, right? TikTok changed the game, right? Becoming the video version of Twitter, so to speak. And that's become big with millennials and Zs, right? So the game is open for new social media platforms to appear from nowhere and rapidly become major players, as we saw with Instagram, right? That was a giant... ginormous growth very quickly before they sold to Facebook. But there's none that I would recommend right now. Go and set yourself up on. What I would say to people is where your audience is, look at what you've done so far, polish it again, look at what other people are doing, plagiarize. I'm doing it all the time. I'm looking at what other people are doing. Oh my God, that's really neat. Have a look at my LinkedIn profile. You'll see a little tick on there, right? So when you look at a search of a list of people, or people tag me into anything, my name stands out amongst them all because that little tick. People have asked me and sent me messages, how do you get the authorized LinkedIn thing, like the Twitter official tick? And I've said to them, disappointingly for them, I added it myself. There's a little trick way of adding a graphic that no one seems to know about, but boy, does my profile stand out, right? 10 seconds work. And the reason is I saw someone else do it and I messaged them whenever several years ago. I said, how did you do that? There's nothing wrong with stealing other people's
best year practices.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with learning from others, right? And going, oh, I'll do that. That's the game. And I'm doing it all the time, even today. I'm still learning tricks and tips on social platforms to maximize the value. And guess what? Most of them are free, apart from a little bit of your time. Most of them are free or low cost. If you see my social content, you'll see lots of professional images and videos. Most of them cost me $5. Here's a trick. Go to a website called Fiverr.com. It is a gig economy. It's like the eBay for people who know what to do with animation, photos, graphic design. And you can find someone and say, could you do this for me? I like what you did there. And they'll do it. And the start price is $5 or £5. I've had an immense amount of graphic work done and neat videos costing me virtually nothing that make my profile then look like I've got a corporate video artist doing it for me. Hardly any money at all.
So here's my final question that I have for you. And just out of curiosity, look, you know, obviously social media, you know, the big, huge one that began it all was MySpace. So my question is, with all these platforms that are really the mainstream ones that everyone is part of our vernacular now, who's going to become the next MySpace? What's your prediction?
I think, so I talk often about, and I'm a school speaker, and I talk often about technology. And that's one of the things I say to people is, there is a technology or an idea coming. And because of the power of the internet and cloud and everything and the consumable nature of all this now, there is something coming as an innovation or a new platform or something that none of us have even seen yet, that within a few years could be a gigantic brand name globally. And how many more Amazons, Ubers, Airbnbs, Facebook, Twitter, boom, boom, boom. So I'm not going to be I haven't seen one that I would put the bet on the name now. I'd love, if I knew it was right, it'd be great to look back in 5 years saying, I told you, and I'm stocking it.
We're all, exactly. I was going to say, let's all buy some stock in it. Ian, thank you so much for joining us. This information has been invaluable, and I know that so many of our folks, that it's the key of really starting with branding. I tell my children every single day that what you're putting out there is seen by the entire world, and that is your personal brand. So thank you again. Remember, everybody, to please subscribe in our YouTube. We'd love to have you so we can continue giving out all this information. If you have any questions in the legal world, please don't forget to call us at Jordan Law. And again, Ian, thank you for all the information you gave us.
You're welcome. Thank you.
See everyone real soon.
You've been listening to Let's Get Up to Business from Jordan Law. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast and would consider sharing the show. We would also love an honest 5-star review through iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or whatever podcatcher you use. If you are interested in being a guest of the podcast, please contact producer Mark through email at mark@jordanlawfl.com. Use the subject line podcast guest in your email. Thank you. We look forward to speaking to you again soon.